Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. You know, there have been a couple of times, everybody, where I've been kind of fanboyish on the podcast, and they're for different reasons. They're either because, you know, I really look up to the person. You know, I had Bill Good on the podcast and Celeste Headlee, you know, two people who I kind of idolize. And the person that we have on today, I idolize and I really look up to because of what she has created and what she is trying to do. She's trying to create a revolution surrounding conversations about money. And being in the financial services industry, as all of us are, we all think that we understand how to talk about money. But our guest today is a wealth psychology expert. She is going to talk to us and enlighten us how there is a lot more education that we need. So Kathleen Burns Kingsbury is the founder of KB Wealth Connection. She has her own super awesome podcast. It's the Breaking Money Silence podcast. She's published a bunch of different books. She's got a bunch of different programs. We're going to talk about that too. And she was also named, this is like, I think this is really, really neat, one of the most amazing conference speakers by Investment News in 2017. So Kathleen, welcome to the show.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And I kind of like that you're my fan.
Well, you know, you keep doing all this good stuff. I have a feeling. Oh, come on. I watched your video. You have a bunch of fans already. I just happen to be proud that I'm one of them.
Well, I once again appreciate those kind words and look forward to our conversation today.
All right. Where did all of this come from? Would you mind kind of going back to the origins of this wealth psychology and what you've created?
Sure. I'll keep it short. Basically, wealth psychology came to me. I had a background in banking and finance, and I also had a background in counseling. And then in my own personal life, I had some money problems when a crooked contractor ripped my husband and myself off for a large amount of money. And being somebody that was really good at the technical side of finance, I discovered that there was more to it than just the numbers, and that it really was about the psychology of money, talking about money, communicating about money, and that in order to be healthy, you needed to have both components. And so I started my company, KBK Wealth Connection, and it has evolved over time. And now I have loftily said that I would like to start, and I think I have started, a Breaking Money Silence revolution, really helping people look at their own thoughts and beliefs about money and how they can talk more openly and honestly about finance.
Do you take financial advisors through the same line of questioning that you want them to take their clients through?
I typically do. I mean, it's a little bit different. Most of what I'm doing is train the trainer at this point, Matt. But when I'm talking to advisors, there's a couple of things that I'm talking to them about when it comes to breaking money silence and helping people engage in these conversations. The first is that, you know, advisors are people too. So you live in the same money talk taboo society as your clients. And so it's important for you to start to understand what is your relationship in terms of talking about money or not talking about money, and not just the technical, but also the emotional aspects. And then once you're able to have that insight, you can help your clients have that insight, and it actually makes really good business sense.
Well, let's talk about the business sense aspect of it, because, you know, advisors want to have multi-generational clients. They want to have deeper relationships, a more referable relationship with their clients. How can this process really help with that?
Well, in terms of breaking money silence, we actually did some research recently at my firm, and we found that the advisors who were committed to engaging in these meaningful conversations with their clients actually improved client loyalty by about 76%. They also improved the referrals that were being made to them. Almost 60% of advisors reported that when they went this extra step to have these meaningful conversations to empower their clients to talk to each other other and to their family members that they increased their assets under management. So yes, I am passionate about this because it's personal and I think it's really, really important. It also is a great business strategy. And we all know that advisors are good people, but you want to have a profitable business. And so this research tells me that we're really on the right track for using these skills to grow our business and do, I think, the good work that a lot of advisors like to do, which is help clients.
And it also really helps you separate yourself from the advisor down the street. I mean, if you've never had these conversations with a financial services professional, well, I'm hoping that you're asking yourself, why in God's name haven't I had these conversations? Because they're vitally important. How do you even begin, though? I don't want you to give up the secret sauce. And I know you've got lots of really awesome offerings and stuff out there. But would you mind just like lifting the hood just a little bit and taking me through maybe some of the initial questions? Or how do you even get this set up to open the door to walk through with your clients?
Well, I think first and foremost, like I said, you have to examine your own relationship with money. And so I can certainly take you through a little bit of what I tend to do in my keynotes and my workshop. And, you know, I have secret sauce cooking all the time, so I don't mind sharing it with you. So, you know, when you think about money and you think about talking about money, Matt, what was the lesson you learned from your family about engaging in these conversations with friends, family, and colleagues?
Right. Well, as we were warming up for the podcast, I told you that my grandmother, an old German lady, said to me, Matt, there's four things that you don't ever talk about in polite conversation: money, sex, religion, and politics. And that was a hugely impactful thing. In fact, my mom, so that was the dad side of my family, my mom's side of my family, they refused to talk about it. Actually, after my grandparents passed away, it took my mother and my uncle 3 years to find out where everything was. 3 years.
Wow. So money silence had run rampant in your family. You were actually taught overtly to not talk about money. And what I'm curious about is, how did you end up deciding you wanted to be in the finance world?
Oh, because I've always been fascinated with it. That's a really good question. I've always been fascinated with it. I won, you know, the stock competition in high school in economics, where they give you a fake $100,000, and I don't know, made like $1.2 million or something like that. And so it's something I've always been really, really fascinated about. And I also understand that being a financial advisor is such an important relationship. And my background as a therapist, we never talked about money with our clients just because we didn't have the training. And when I started meeting more professionals who implemented that and integrated that into their financial services profession, I was like, wow, this is a cool profession.
Well, and what is so fascinating, of course, I identify with your background, but what's so fascinating about that is basically what you're saying is this is a key differentiator. You came from a family that had strong money silence. You saw that even in your profession as a therapist, people weren't talking about money, and that you have kind of got to a point where you know that this is such a valid thing because it helps families successfully pass down wealth. It keeps couples engaged in a healthy, intimate relationship. The list goes on and on. And so the next step I would take somebody through is basically talking a little bit about what are the easiest financial conversations, what are the easiest financial conversations for you to have, and also what are the most difficult?
Yeah. So I have twin 16-year-old boys. So we talk a
God
lot
bless
about...
God bless you.
Yeah. They're home, too, actually. So you might hear very heavy feet stomping above you. But we talk a lot about budgeting, right? We talk about the real cost of things. We talk about, you know, if they move out of the house. And so my wife and I are very, very comfortable with that. But what we're not generally very comfortable about, and I actually saw this in your really awesome promotional video on your website, was, you know, about how much money we make. For some reason, that's like a weird, uncomfortable conversation. And it's not anything that I'm ashamed of in any way, shape, or form. I'm just concerned about them not understanding it from a context perspective. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think a lot of people do worry about their children or people around them finding out how much they make. And if you think about it, just for the purposes of this exercise, and then I have another comment, you know, as we go through these questions, it's really uncovering what are your thoughts and beliefs about talking about money? What are the areas of strength, which doesn't surprise me. A lot of financial professionals are strong in the technical budgeting, saving conversations, and that the salary conversation is such an emotionally loaded one in our society that often that's a place where people are uncomfortable. Now, I'm going to make a leap. I'm not saying this happens for you. But if you have trouble talking about salary, sometimes people will then have trouble as advisors asking for their fee or justifying their fee because it's their salary. And so really taking a look and peeling back and looking at what are all these thoughts and how do they impact how I'm talking with clients, what I'm communicating with clients, what I'm not communicating about with clients is really such a useful first step that then you can mirror with your clients. And I feel like even if each and every one of us just did that type of exercise, we would be much better off as a society, but also as a profession.
You know, I can just hear advisors' gears grinding in their brain right now because they're saying, I talk about this all the time. This is what I do for a living. Why do I need to look at things differently?
Well, I love that you brought that up because I get that a lot when I'm in a workshop. And what I say to people is, yes, you talk about this for a living, but everybody, dare I say, I think it's everybody, has some sort of pocket in their life where talking about money is uncomfortable. So for instance, I was doing a workshop about a year ago, and a very senior advisor said, well, I spend all my time doing this. I don't have trouble talking about money. And then on the way out at the end of the workshop, she pulled me aside and she said, you know, I do have trouble talking to my elderly mom about money. Oh. And so I think that advisors need to be paying attention. Yes, you're probably better than most of our society, but if you get better and better at this and you can coach people on this, not only does it help you market and distinguish yourself in a very crowded marketplace, it also is something that's going to gather some data that's going to really help you be more successful in their financial planning and investment strategies.
So many financial advisors are that black and white number equation output mindset. How do you help them with the emotional aspect of this? I was speaking somewhere a little while ago and I had asked the question, how many of you have had clients cry while you're meeting with them? And, you know, of course, everybody raised their hand. And then I said, how many of you felt prepared for it or knew how to handle it? And very few people raised their hand. Kathleen, it's this. The messy gray area stuff that we're kind of talking about here, how do you help somebody who maybe doesn't think like that, think like that?
Great question. I am a recovered black and white thinker. So there is hope for everybody. I think that what is important is that we know that there is a money and emotion connection. It is going to be in the room with you, whether you have that muscle, whether you build up those skills or not, and that what is important isn't to be right about your client's emotion, but to be open to just wondering out loud and getting curious, is there an emotion connected with it? In a minute, if you want, I can tell you a story about a widow and crying and how that came to pass. It's a kind of an interesting story about the money emotion connection.
Oh, God, please tell us the story. I'd love to hear the story.
So I was doing a keynote a couple years ago, and I was standing on the stage and I was talking about women in transition, and I was talking about widows and how sometimes clients cry in your office. And the conversation went on, my talk ended, and it was the Q&A time. And there was a gentleman in the room, and I could see he was really kind of very, very interested in asking me a question. So he raised his hand. He said, Kathleen, how do I get a widow to stop crying? And the room kind of had this little chuckle going on. And I was standing up there and my first thought was, wow, I can't believe he was brave enough to ask the question that I think is probably on 70% of the folks' minds. And I said to him, I said, before I answer, let me ask you a curious question. I said, why do you want her to stop crying? What is motivating you to help her stop crying? And he thought for a minute and he said, you know, I just want to be helpful. And so in that moment, I let him and the entire audience know that sometimes just sitting there with somebody who's having an emotion is being helpful. That we are so used to in this profession of checking off lists, of having to-do items, action items, that when it comes to the emotional component, sometimes just creating a place where someone can share that emotion around something that's taboo in our society, money, is really invaluable. And it is something, I mean, I know I keep coming back to this, but it's something that actually makes advisors better. Their clients more loyal. And if you look at the difference between top advisors and your regular, you know, producing providers, what you'll find is it tends to be they can sit with that emotion and deal with the money emotion connection and communicate effectively.
Awesome, awesome story. As a recovering therapist, so you're a recovering black and white thinker. I'm a recovering therapist. I just there's so many times that just having that silence and just sitting with somebody and being with them without having to fix anything is the greatest gift you can give. Now, Kathleen, I'm going to switch gears here because you have a successful podcast. One, why did you start doing it? And two, can you tell us about the Breaking Money Silence podcast, what it is and where people can get to it?
Sure. The Breaking Money Silence podcast actually started as my research for my fifth book, which is by the same title. And I said to myself, listen, I'm going to be writing about the taboo against talking about money, why it's important for clients as well as advisors to have these conversations. And I realized I know all of my money thoughts, but I don't know what other people are thinking and what other money myths are out there. So the show started as research, and now I'm happy to say it's been successful. And each time, each episode, every episode, we have someone who comes in as a guest with a money myth that they want to bust wide open. And we take them through a quick process, 20 minutes. And by the end of it, we have the audience listen into that process. And also, they have come up with a new way of thinking. And so we have guests anywhere from financial advisors, bankers, to musicians. And the other day, I had Sean Lawson, who anybody who is a craft beer fan knows, he's kind of a living legend. I had him in to talk about some money myths in the beer industry.
Wow. Well, see, I kind of wanted to be on your podcast, but now I'm afraid to be on your podcast because I'm afraid what you're going to uncover.
Uh-oh. That's okay. That's all part of the work, Matt, as
yes.
a recovered therapist. By the way, I'm a recovered therapist as well, so that would be a good conversation. We might need two or three parts.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Now, you are a prolific writer. You're a prolific speaker. How have you, besides the fact that you're so good and you really have carved out an amazing niche, how have you been so prevalent? I mean, you've been everywhere. New York Times, Wall Street Journal, PBS, Money Magazine, Today Money, Forbes, CNBC. You're like all over the place. How did you get to be who you are?
Wow, that is a big question. I'm going to answer it on a little bit of a shallow level. Because I think what has helped with my success is that everything that I have done has come from a place of really being passionate about it. I really want to empower women, couples, and the professionals that serve them. And so when I am writing from the heart. When I am giving a presentation, I'm giving it from my heart. And with all of that said, I'm very strategic from a marketing standpoint, but I also have a wonderful team around me. So by no means is all of that happening with just little old me doing the work, because that's impossible. And what I learned is that the team is invaluable. So I have a great team supporting me, and I just keep doing the next big thing that I want to do and take a risk and do it. And it seems to be working out.
Now, if somebody wants to engage you, first, let's talk about what you can do for them. You talked about training the trainer earlier. What are some of the things that you offer to our listeners? And then what is the best way for them to find out how they can get you to do that stuff for them?
Sure. I am a keynote speaker, a workshop facilitator. I also do consulting, both individually, you know, with smaller firms as well as larger financial institutions, broker dealers, around content development and bringing these thoughts to market and helping people sell using these concepts. And I am a part-time professor and a podcaster. So if you want to know more about all the different ways in which I try to get this message out there and how I might be able to help you, you're going to want to go to kbkwealthconnection.com, and you can check out videos and my services and get some free tips and tools.
And I also highly recommend purchasing the books. You know, Kathleen, when I was a consultant before I started doing this, I was in a lot of advisors' offices. There were a lot of advisors who had your book on their bookshelf. And now that doesn't surprise me because I understand the value of your content. But if you have not engaged Kathleen, whether it's directly or indirectly through her books or through her videos, please make sure that you do that. It is It's very, very valuable. Now, Kathleen, I probably missed a question because, again, I'm still kind of geeking out about, you know, having you on the podcast. What should I have asked you? Is there something I missed? Is there something you want to talk about that I didn't ask you?
I'm thinking. I think what I would love to share with the audience is the fact that I am really looking to hear from people as to what are the tools that are working, what are the books that are working for them, what is the content that they need. I think one of the things that I'm trying to do, in addition to continuing to speak at the level I speak and write at the level I write, is to really get out there and help advisors on the ground bring these concepts to their clients as part of their prospecting. So I have developed something called a workshop in a box, not an original title, but on breaking money silence. And so I really think it's a way to help advisors save time and energy and be able to leverage my content to do the important work that they're doing with their clients.
Wait a second. So you've created like a public-facing workshop?
Yes.
Whoa!
I've been hiding it, but I'm not hiding it any longer. This is breaking news on your podcast.
Yay! Oh my gosh, that's so awesome. So many advisors are so tired of doing the same old buckets, you know, presentation, or, you know, the scare tactics, or, you know, all of those stuff. Wow, what a great, great idea. They can find that on the kbwealthconnection.com.
Yes, kbkwealthconnection.com. It's in the e-commerce section. And you also can certainly just shoot me an email at kbk@kbkwealthconnection. Let me know if you're interested in that content. I have an initial workshop offering. And then each 6 months to a year, I'm going to come out with something new. So you can always keep it fresh.
And please make sure that you go to the breakingmoneysilence.com website. You can follow her at kbkspeaks on Twitter. She's very, very active on social. And please subscribe to her podcast. What a great way to get your mind right when you're going into the office. Listen to a powerful money conversation. You know, don't listen to what's going on in the markets and stuff. Really, that doesn't matter as much as the conversations that you need to mentally prepare for every day when you come into the office. So, Kathleen, thank you so much for being on the show. It's an honor and privilege to know you, and great freaking information.
Thank you so much. It's been super fun. I really enjoyed our conversation.
If you have not subscribed to the podcast, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. That way, every time we come out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. And if you know of a guest that would be great on the show, or you just want to give us some feedback, all you have to do is email me at matt@topadvisorm.com. So for Kathleen, this is Matt Halloran, and for everybody at Top Advisor Marketing, we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by iris.xyz. A platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at iris.xyz.